Just when you think you got everything figured out, God always has the last laugh on everything. Good to be with you today. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live coming to you from Area 52, which is located, in case you didn't know this, it's right outside of Dayton, Ohio. And good to be with you today. And just when you think you got everything all worked out, got your week all planned out, God just sits in heaven and he laughs and he says, watch this. Watch what I'm going to do. I had told you last week, and we had some visitors here today. It's good to meet them. They are probably going to, I don't know if they're watching now, but I think they're going to watch it this evening. But anyway, I was showing them my four pages of notes on the symbolism of the phoenix and other things from the London Olympic closing ceremony, and had been just pondering it all weekend about how I was going to put it all together and what things I was going to add and this and that and the other. And last night, I'm hearing on the news, they're saying on the news here locally, they're going, how bizarre is that, that a hurricane coming into the Gulf States, headed right to New Orleans, Louisiana. That's how you say it, by the way. You don't say New Orleans. You say New Orleans, Louisiana. Headed right for New Orleans, 7 years to the day. To the day. That Hurricane Katrina came in. It was on August 29th. Today's the 28th. It's due to hit land tonight and go through tomorrow. And they were saying on the news, like, how weird is that? And that just kind of got my attention. And I'd sit there and I'm just thinking about this last night. And I'm going, boy, you know, that 7 years thing, that is, how many times in the Bible do we find the phrase 7 years? I mean, where is that? That's like all over the scriptures. And so I'm just pondering. No, we're not at the closing end of the tribulation. Don't be stupid. But that 7 years is interesting. To the day, here's this other hurricane coming in right to the exact same place. It makes you think now. It makes you think that maybe somebody's in control of the weather. Now, I don't think Barack Obama has that much energy. I don't think he does. I don't think he has that. I don't think Hillary Clinton has that kind of magic power. She's a witch, all right, but I don't think she can do that. A thought came to me last night. Boom, there it was. And I'm going, no way. No way. And I announced it on the Watchman community last night that I've got something that's just, to me, is major dealing with this hurricane that's going to go through. And a guy named Richard called me this morning from Texas. He calls me quite often. And he said individually the exact same thing that I had thought last night. And so I spent all day rewriting a whole new script for a whole Watchman broadcast. I've got the script laid out. I'm working on the PowerPoint sheets now, and we'll have it ready by Sunday. But to me, it's significant. I think there's something real here. And let me do this right at the beginning. I got some news articles, but I want to go to this right now. And I've got Bill Nye, the science idiot. Did you see this guy? Absolutely incredible what he said. Just because you wear a bow tie, that does not make you smart. Here, in case you don't know this, and this went on 7 years ago, every year in New Orleans, Louisiana, there is a festival. And they're very proud of their festival. And it took place in the year that Katrina went through in New Orleans. And it's scheduled again this year as well. And God just always has the last laugh on everything. And just so that you'll know where I'm coming from, and just so that you'll understand that I really do believe that God is in control of everything, and God does things like, if some people say, do you think God really does love that? Well, yeah, He does. God is in control of everything. He controls the weather. Jesus controlled the winds. That's what they said. They were going, even the winds obey His voice. It does exactly what God tells it to do. I got some scriptures on that, but I want to show you this. This is from the website Southern Decadence. Doesn't take you long to figure out what this is all about, does it? This is Southern Decadence New Orleans 2012 Labor Day weekend. Southern Decadence New Orleans official website. And the event goes from Wednesday, August 29th through Monday, September 3rd this year. And again, it doesn't take you long to figure out what this is all about. And then they have an update on their website, Isaac Storm Update. Southern Decadence festivities will proceed as scheduled, because after all, you just can't slow us gay guys down, can you? Please check with your airline for updated flight information if traveling from out of state. The storm is forecast to have passed through New Orleans area by Thursday morning. Yeah, but what havoc is it going to wreak in its trail? These people are bound and determined to still go down to New Orleans, Louisiana, so they can be gay, be sodomized, so they can sodomize each other in the streets, and they'll get away with it too. They will get away with it. You see, the police will patrol Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras and arrest anybody that's acting in an indecent and inappropriate manner. Are you kidding me? What is Mardi Gras anyway? It's indecent and inappropriate behavior. But these guys will get away with it. They will get away with anything. They will do anything they want to do. What they show you on the news of a gay pride parade, what they show you on the news is not what really happened on the streets in your town, in your city. That's not what really happened. They showed you the G-rated version of these people in suits and ties and everything like that, waving to the crowd and the mayor doing this and everything. That's what they showed you on the news. They did not show you the rest of it, the rest of what happened on the news. Speaking of sodomites, I saw this last night. The newly installed or soon to be installed bishop of San Francisco, California. I can't remember his name. But he was recommended and he was appointed by the most holy reverend pope of all Roman Catholicism in Rome. And he was going to be installed as the bishop of San Francisco. And there might be a little delay, and I don't think it'll derail it. But there's going to be a little delay in what's going on there. You see, it seems he got pulled over for drunk driving. Yeah. Got pulled over. I mean, he was busted up drunk riding around in his car, and he got arrested for it. So he's got to deal with his drunk driving issues before he can be the bishop of the most holy Catholic Church. And this is really interesting. And I've had two people bring this up to me today. Let me put this graphic up here again just for a second before you gag on it. Southern Decadence 2012 Isaac Storm Update. Here's what's funny. Do you know what the name Isaac means? Where it came from? Well, yeah, there's Isaac in the Bible. Why did Sarah call her child Isaac? Because it means laughter. Remember, she laughed in the Lord's face. She laughed at God when He said, "You're going to have a baby next year." She laughed at him and then lied about it. That's how spiritual she was. And so Isaac means laughter. And this to me, this is interesting. You listen to the verses. Psalm chapter 2. Get your can of King James opened up here. And listen to this. Why do the heathen rage? In other words, why do they go to New Orleans to have them a little festival? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They rage because they're angry because they're heathens. They're lost. They do not have what you and I have. You and I have the peace that passeth understanding. You remember that song we learned in Vacation Bible School? I have the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. We have that. We have a peace that passes all understanding. Nobody can comprehend. People cannot comprehend the peace that we have. The absolute peace that we have. Knowing Jesus, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we're going to go to heaven when we die. But if you're a heathen, you're mad all the time. There's always some riot that you're wanting to be a part of. You're just angry at everybody all the time. That brings something to mind here. There was, let's see if I can find it. The Drudge Report had it up there earlier. A couple of these Hollywood people were hoping that all of the Republicans in Tampa would be drowned. And they said this out loud. They actually said this out loud. Samuel L. Jackson was one of them. I can't find the name of the other. But anyway, they were openly expressing their ideas that they hoped that all of the Republicans in Tampa would drown in a flood because of their political views. They deserve to drown. These are people that are no good for America because they are homophobes and so on. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That's a conspiracy. Write the word conspiracy. Not in the text, but you can write it next to it. The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, number one, and against his anointed. So they're going after God and his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And then they're going after, I believe, that since we are in Christ and we are his body, if they hate him, they hate us. If they hate us, they hate him. That's how it works. So they don't like you. They absolutely don't like you. And here's what they say. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Their bands. And I've made this illustration before. Right here, get it in the camera. There it is a band. My wife wanted to get me a new one of these. She said, you want a new ring? And I said, no. She said, why? I said, this one's got a lot of stuff attached to it. This ring and I have been through a lot together. And the bands mean something. The bonds of marriage, the bonds of brotherhood, the bonds of our faith. These things are important to us. And these are things that we would like to see in America. If you just take an honest look at where we are as a people in opposition to where we used to be as a people, where we used to be, let's 50 years ago. Where were we 50 years ago, 1960? Where were we as a people? We had come out of World War II. We had come out of Korea. And America was at its peak between 1950 and 1960. You could go to sleep with your door open, your screen door shut. You didn't have to lock anything. That's how it was. There was just a common decency. Kids could still pray in school. They could read their Bible. A Sunday, there was nothing. Do you remember these days? On Sunday, there was nothing open. There were towns and communities all over America that on Sunday, they closed their doors. You couldn't buy gas. You didn't go to the grocery store. You just couldn't do business with somebody unless it was an emergency on Sunday. Nobody did that. Why? Because that was out of respect for people going to church. It's not because they thought it was the Sabbath. It was out of respect for people going to church. They just said, we're just not going to do business on Sunday. Chick-fil-A still will not do business on Sunday. They represent the America that used to be. And we think of that so strange now. But that's how it is. Or that's how it was. And but America has turned completely around. We have lost just about every shred of decency and morality in this country. So that here are politicians who are standing up and they're trying to take at least a soft stand on sodomite marriage. And they say, we just think it's between a man and a woman. And so you get the Hollywood crowd saying, oh, these people need to drown in the hurricane. That's what they need. And to me, it's interesting. The hurricane's not going to Tampa. It's going to New Orleans where they're having southern decadence. Who controls the hurricane? And I'm gonna be dealing with this next week in the Watchman broadcast. And I am 100% positive, and I may be wrong, I am 100% positive that there's going to be at least four or five YouTube bloggers out there and some other WordPress bloggers. They're gonna rehash this thing with HAARP and weather control and all of these diabolical machines that apparently the government has to cause hurricanes to go into exact location. You've seen all that. You've probably watched the videos and went, oh, wow, I didn't know they could do that. Well, you still don't. You still don't know they could do that. Because, and they're going to say, well, what about HAARP? Well, yeah, well, what about HAARP? We still don't. I mean, I believe in it. I believe this gigantic antenna array. I think something weird is up with it. But the truth is, neither you nor I, Nick Begich, who does all the commentaries on, he's like the HAARP expert, none of these guys really actually know what's going on. But here's something that we have. We have a sure word of prophecy. And one of the things that I do know is that God controls wind. He is in control of all of the wind. And so God says, when they say, when they are raging against him and they want to break the bands asunder and cast the cords of God from them, here's what God says in verse 4 of Psalm 2. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's what Isaac's name means. God is laughing. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You know, I want to look that word up. Can I do that? Can I just take like 3 seconds here to, I think I have it bookmarked. Here it is. D-E-R-I-S-I-O-N. Derision. It means mockery. That's what it means. Ridicule. To laugh. That's what it means. To deride somebody. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. You know what? Again, I want to just kind of take you off the path for a second. Look at verse 4 again. In case you didn't know what the word derision means, the Bible tells you in that verse, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. The word derision means to laugh at, to mock at them. And it says it right in that verse. The Bible is your best translator. The Bible is your best, it's your best dictionary. And I hope everybody understood what I was getting at when I recorded this last Watchman broadcast on the Bible translation issue. I brought up the idea of how everybody's preacher, everybody's scholar, these people that I was down at the conference in Branson, they're all telling everybody, you really got to go to the original Hebrew and Greek in order to understand the Bible. You really got to, the real Bible's in Hebrew and Greek. That's where it is. And this English Bible has got mistakes all in it, and it's wrong, and it's all faulty, and it doesn't say what I want it to say. So I'm going to say to go to the original Hebrew and Greek. And it dawned on me, they don't really do that. They don't do that. If you have a pastor, if you know of a pastor, or were a former church member of a church whose pastor said, now really we need to go to the Hebrew and Greek on this. He doesn't do that. He makes it look like he does it. But can I tell you what he did? He does exactly, I want to do this. Can you hold on 1 second? Well, like 5-6 seconds. I'm going to go get a book. I'm going to show you what they do. I'm going to go get it. It's in the next room over here. where the top secret, other top secret studio is. So hang on 1 second, and I'll be right back. I'm gonna get the book. There it is. I got it. Hang on. Here we go. I got the book. Now I gotta get my pillow all fluffed up, and I gotta put my earplug back in, and all this other stuff. But I gotta show you this. This is what they do. Okay. This is, and I got it from a girlfriend I had when I was in college. No, it wasn't Lisa. A girlfriend that I had when I was in college. She gave me this as a gift. She said, oh, you're taking Greek class. Well, you're going to need a Greek Bible and a Greek New Testament. And she didn't know that the Greek New Testament I was supposed to get was not supposed to have the interlinear in it. Let me hold that up to the screen here. Do you see that? Let me do that right there. If I can hold it real still, you'll see that it has Greek words and it has the literal word-for-word interpretation or translation underneath it, okay? That kind of defeats the purpose of taking elementary Greek, is if you had it translated for you right underneath it. But she didn't know. And did you know that I used this in class and got away with it? No wonder I got a B+ in that class. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I can translate this. Hang on 1 second. And that's what I would do. Yeah, I know it's cheating. Yeah, I know. But anyway, here's the issue here. Whenever your pastor says, now, we really need to go to the original languages to really understand this. That's not what he's doing. He's not going to the original languages. You know what he's doing? He's either got an interlinear like this, or he's going to a translation dictionary called a lexicon. Like the lexicon at the end of the Strong's Concordance. It has a Hebrew and a Greek lexicon. And he's going to... That's not the original Hebrew and Greek. Do you get what I'm saying? He's not going. He does not know how to read and speak fluent Hebrew and Greek. He doesn't know how to do that. He took a class. He took a stupid year-long class on elementary Greek. He may have took an advanced class to get his master's degree. But the bottom line is, when he gets out of that class, he still does not know how to speak fluently Koine Greek. He doesn't know how to do that. And so what does he do? He gets his interlinear out, or he goes to his lexicon, which is interpreted for him. So wait a minute. He said you had to go to the original languages, but he didn't go to the original languages. He went to another interpretation of the languages. That's what he did. And he did so in violation of the scripture. You're not supposed to do that. It's already been interpreted for us, and nobody buys that. Nobody accepts that. Anyway, back to Psalm chapter 5. There's Psalm chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Right next to that, Revelation 12, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And it just seemed funny to me that here they're having this gay you-know-what festival down in New Orleans, again, 7 years later, and God's going to do it again. Same place with the same thing. And it's called Isaac. And that's basically God's laughing at their calamity. And it just amazes me when I looked at that website, the idea that these people were so bent on going to New Orleans so they could all hook up together. You get it. You know what this is, don't you? It's sickening. It's disgusting. But this is what these people are all about. They have no thought of anything else. And the wrath of God does not scare them. This is why they do what they do. In public, by the way. They do this stuff in public. Where are my notes for today? I was going to read some news articles here. This is from the London Telegraph. Cannabis smoking permanently lowers IQ. Duh. Have you ever talked to somebody? Do you know somebody that loves to smoke marijuana? And they do it, and they have done a lot of it. Have you ever tried to talk to them? These people are dumber than a box of rocks. But the scientists in the lab coats had to be the one to tell us. Teenagers who regularly smoke cannabis are putting themselves at risk of permanently damaging their intelligence, according to a landmark study. Researchers found persistent users of the drug who started smoking it at school had lower IQ scores as adults. They were also significantly more likely to have attention and memory problems later in life than their peers who abstained. Are you kidding me? You had to put lab coats on guys with clipboards and test tubes and surveys and all this stuff to figure this out. I've known people that have smoked a lot of marijuana in their life, and they are not as smart as everybody else, and they have a short attention span, and they have a short memory span. Hey, Jim.
Huh?
Oh, you talking to me? Yeah. Furthermore, those who started as teenagers and used it heavily but quit as adults did not regain their full mental powers, found academics at King's College London and Duke University in the US. They looked at data from over 1,000 people from Dunedin in New Zealand who have been followed through their lives since being born in 1972 or 1973. Boy, it stinks to live in Dunedin, New Zealand. There must be a lot of pot smokers down there. Participants were asked about cannabis usage when they were 18, 21, 26, 32, and 38. Their IQ was tested at 13 and 38. In addition, each nominated. And I'm just kind of in my mind, I'm going over this scenario here. They asked them questions at 13 years old. And they say, tell us truthfully now. Do you smoke marijuana?
No.
No, no, that, no, I don't do that. No, no, huh? No, 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 I don't do that. And then by the time they're 18, do you smoke marijuana? Yeah, man. Yeah. Their IQ was tested at 13 and 38. In addition, each nominated a close friend or family member who was asked about attention and memory problems. About 1 in 20 admitted to starting cannabis use before the age of 18, while a further 1 in 10 took up the habit in the early or mid-20s. And it took lab coats and surveys and test tubes to find that out. I know some guys. I know some guys in this town that I went to high school with. I could tell you the same thing. And then this. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about the guy that played Bigfoot? Did you hear about that? The guy that played Bigfoot. This is, where is this from? I want to read the full story. I don't want to read the half story. Where is it? DailyInterlake.com. A man dressed in a military-style ghillie suit. A ghillie suit is a suit worn by marksmen, by guys who are shooting long range or who are doing reconnaissance of some kind. A ghillie suit is a suit. It's got all kinds of stuff on it. It's meant to meld into the scenery that you're in. The guys that use these ghillie suits well, you'd never know they were there. You could be standing right next to them, wouldn't know they were there. A man dressed in a military-style ghillie suit who was attempting to provoke a Bigfoot sighting was struck by two vehicles and killed on U.S. 93 south of Kalispell Sunday night. He was trying to make people think he was a Sasquatch, so people would call in a Sasquatch sighting. Montana Highway Patrol trooper Jim Schneider said, "You can't make it up. I haven't seen or heard of anything like this before. Obviously, his suit made it difficult for people to see him. That's why they're..." Maybe they should have asked this 44-year-old man whether or not he had smoked a lot of marijuana in his life. The Flathead County Sheriff's Office identified the man as Randy Lee Tinley, 44, of Kalispell. Schneider said Tinley's motivations were ascertained during interviews with friends who were not in the immediate area, but were nearby smoking marijuana. No, it didn't say that. But were nearby when the man was struck at about 10:30 p.m. Alcohol may have been a factor, Schneider said. Impairment is up in the air. Tinley was on the southbound side of the highway, about a half mile south of the highway's intersection with Rocky Cliff Road. He was in the right-hand lane of travel, and the vehicle was unable to avoid him and struck him, Schneider said, of the first vehicle. Get this. The first vehicle driven by a 15-year-old girl. That'll ruin you for life. A second vehicle driven by a 17-year-old Summers girl also struck Tinley as he laid in the highway. Tinley was pronounced dead at the scene. Go imagine that. I saw this on the news, and some people had said something about it, and I saw it on the news over the weekend. I think I saw it yesterday. Bill Nye, the science guy. You know, you remember this guy. My kids used to have a little thing on Saturday morning, I think. I don't know if my kids ever watched it or not, but I can remember seeing it on. I never paid much attention to it. He's a guy, wears this little funny little bow tie, got this long face, and he was all about teaching science in sort of a entertaining way to all these children. He wanted to teach the children the science, get them to learn the science. You must know the science. So he gets interviewed, and in this interview, he just goes... I mean, you can talk about anything you want to. Anything in the world you want to talk about. You want to talk about science, you can talk about science, you can talk about this. Here's what Bill Nye, the science moron, and I use that for a reason. Bill Nye, the science moron, here's what he decided to spend 2.5 minutes talking about. Now, if you have not seen this, reach down, buckle your seatbelt so you don't fall out of your chair at what this guy said. Take a look.
Denial of evolution is unique to the United States. I mean, we are the world's most advanced technological. So, I mean, you could say Japan. But generally, the United States is where most of the innovation still happens. People still move to the United States. And that's largely because of the intellectual capital we have, the general understanding of science. When you have a portion of the population that doesn't believe in that, it holds everybody back, really. Evolution is the fundamental idea in all of life science, in all of biology. It's very much analogous to trying to do geology without believing in tectonic plates. You're just not going to get the right answer. Your whole world is just going to be a mystery instead of an exciting place. As my old professor Carl Sagan said, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. So once in a while, I get people that really, that claim they don't believe in evolution. And my response generally is, why not? Really, why not? Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution. I mean, here are these ancient dinosaur bones or fossils. Here is radioactivity. Here are distant stars that are just like our star, but that are a different point in their life cycle. The idea of deep time, of this of billions of years, explains so much of the world around us. If you try to ignore that, your worldview just becomes crazy. It's just untenable, self-inconsistent. And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems. It's just really a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. You know, in another couple centuries, that worldview, I'm sure, will be, it just won't exist. I mean,
in another couple of centuries, the worldview of creationism will not exist. Now, if you have never believed, if you've just sort of been on the sidelines of an elitist agenda, an elitist ideology, and when I'm listening to this guy, I'm also thinking of all of the scholars, all of the Bible scholars, who, and you could see in Bill's, in the way he was talking, he's sort of like me. I'm trying to think while I'm talking. And you could see in him that when he's describing those who believe in a creationist worldview, he's searching for words, because the words that he wants to say is, you people are crazy, you're idiots, you're a danger, you're a menace to society, there's something wrong with you, you should have your kids taken away. Those are all things that are in the frontal lobe of his mind. But he's got to put a block on there, and he's got to go back here and dig up some more expressionable things to say, more something that would not get him in trouble. But that's not what he really believes. What he really believes is that, and what he said was, is that if you want to hold to this view of creationism, whatever, just don't teach it to your kids. We need to listen to, he said, we need your children. We need your children. And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist, doesn't take a geologist, doesn't take a physicist to understand where he's coming from. Where he's coming from is the idea, and these people, this elitist mindset, this evolutionary elitist mindset that are super educated, that think that you are a menace to your children by taking them to Sunday school and letting them read the book of Genesis. You are a menace to them. You are harming them. And in 200 years from now, people like you will not even exist. So you know what he's saying to you? Go away. Go away. Leave us your children so that we can totally strip any idea of a creator from their mind, from their thinking. We can just totally, they will grow up in a world that does not have any knowledge of God whatsoever, so that we need them. We need them as engineers. We need them as taxpayers. We need your children. I mean, if you want to believe it, go ahead, you moron, you idiot, you fool. There's something wrong with you. Why, if you wore a bow tie like me, you would know that creationism is wrong. And I could not get over the arrogance. He is the front man, the representative. My daughter Alicia downstairs telling me, she said, wow, he's an idiot. Yes, we did watch him. He came on daily. No wonder my kids are messed up. They watched a guy with a bow tie. Bill Nye, the bow tie guy. The idiot, the moron. Let me open up my can of King James in here. Do you believe in creation? Do you believe in evolution? Listen, I'm not going to deal with the science of it. And those who might listen to this to say, yeah, because you don't have the science. Let me say to those of you who might be listening to this, which I doubt, but you might be. You might be listening to this saying, wow, I never heard this before. Was this guy, was he a creationist? What is wrong with you? Don't you know that we found all the monkey bones? We found all this. We carbon dated everything. Let me just say to you that your science is not what you think it is. You were told this, you were told that all the evidence points toward evolution. That's not true. There is evidence that points away from evolution that they didn't tell you about. So if you want to jump on this little science high horse, be my guest, but you're wrong. But let's deal with it from a matter of reality and a matter of... Let me turn it around on Bill Nye, the bow tie guy. In 200 years, Bill Nye will not be around. In 200 years, he will not be on the planet Earth telling everybody his little theories, how they ought to raise their children. He won't be around. In 200 years from now, Bill Nye will be someplace. Where will Bill Nye be? Where will he be? He's either going to be in heaven, which he doesn't believe in, or hell, which he doesn't believe in that one either. But that's where he's going to be. Why? Because after this life, there is something beyond that, something that his observable science cannot comprehend. That's why it's science falsely so called. It's not real science. Because it only deals with the eye, what the eyes can see and what the instruments can measure. But there is something beyond that, Bill Nye, the bow tie guy, that the Bible talks about. And do you believe the Bible? I brought this up in the video we did on evolution and the New World Order. And I just laid out a very simple case. You can believe evolution if you want. Here's where it started, and here's where it's going. Evolution has an aim and has an end to it. Bill Nye believes in an idea that mankind, and he probably would be in favor of human augmentation to deliver us from the evils and the vain vanities that we are subject to right now, which God put us under, by the way. He would be in favor of us going ahead and leaping forward into our new phase of evolution. He would be in favor of that. That's what he's getting at. That's why he said in 200 years that won't, your ideology of creationism won't exist. That's why he said that. Let me just read some scripture here. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's all I need. That's it. I'm done. The argument is over with. I'm not going to argue anybody on whether or not God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not even going to argue whether or not he did it 6,000 years ago, because that's what the Bible says. That's what he did. But here's how creationism relates to salvation. Because there's probably some people out there, some pastors, Bible scholars, theologians, and church members who say, oh, I'm just as much a Christian as you are. But just because the earth really is 4 billion years old, and mankind didn't show up until about 300,000 years ago, and we did come from monkeys, that doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It does. Because if you don't believe the Bible, let's see, for by grace are you, let's think about this for a minute. For by grace are you saved through science. No. For by grace are you saved through bow tie. No. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. lest any man should boast. Bill Nye is a boaster, by the way. Salvation is dependent upon creationism. If you call God a liar, if you call the Bible a liar about what it says about the past, then what makes you think God is right in telling you the truth concerning the future? And I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to these words here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Does God have the ability to create the heavens and the earth out of absolutely nothing? Yes. How did he do it? Through his word. He said, and God said, let there be light. And God said, 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 let us make man in our image. It was done through the spoken word. Psalm 51:10. Here's what David said. After David had been caught with Bathsheba and the lies and the murders and the adultery and everything else, here's what David prayed unto God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David wanted God to create a clean heart in him. That means, God, the heart that I want does not already exist. And I want you to get a hold of this one. The heart that you want does not exist. There's not a piece of it in you that's good, and God's going to say, well, I'm going to take that little good in you, and I'm going to build on that. Mm-mm. You don't have a clean heart. You don't have a good one. And so you ask God to create it. How does God create? He creates it out of nothing. Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. See, it's about his commandments, his word, his voice, the words of his lips create. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Here is, Bill, here's a verse of Scripture that you hate. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when you were young. Parents, homeschool parents, public school parents, teach your children about creation. Teach them the Bible. Teach them verses. Teach them about God, their Creator, about the God who made them, who has power over them, who will judge them. You teach them that. You teach them those principles. Don't let the public school get by with their nonsense. My son Matthew told me. And Matthew is attending high school locally. Caleb, we are homeschooling this year. And Matthew told me, he said, Dad, we had a sub. Guy comes in class yesterday, and he's like, I'm Roman Catholic. And he said, who in here believes the Bible? Matthew said, I raise my hand. And he said, don't you know that's a pack of lies? Don't you know that that's wrong? Don't you know that when the story of Noah's Ark really was this guy built a raft and floated on a lake because the rivers were rising? Don't you know that? Don't you know that is a... And he said, how dare you say that? My son stood up. But that's the kind of garbage that our kids are being indoctrinated with. They're being taught that they came from monkeys. They're being taught that the Bible's wrong. They're being taught that Bible stories are wrong. Your pastor, whether it's me or somebody else, is trying to teach them the Bible. And I'll say this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know who is obligated to teach your children the Bible? It's not the Sunday school teacher, and it's not your pastor, it's you. According to Deuteronomy 6, you are the one who is obligated to teach your children Bible verses and Bible stories and Bible doctrine. That's your job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the Watchman video broadcast job. That's your job, Mom and Dad, or Grandma and Grandpa. Teach them right. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Isaiah 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. All the bow tie guys in the world are not smarter than God. Not one of them. Isaiah 41, verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and that the Holy One of Israel hath created it. The hand of the Lord hath done this. And people want to say, well, I believe in creation, but I believe in creation is like 15 billion years ago. You don't believe in anything. Isaiah 42, 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. The same God that saved you is the one that created the heavens and stretched them out, the Bible says. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And I want to tell you where, and you probably have already figured this out, but in light of all this, the God that created you is the God that will save you. Salvation is of the one who created you. If you have the mindset that mankind creates himself or that nature creates itself, then you have the idea that mankind saves himself. And this is where humanity is going. This is what 100 plus years of evolutionary teaching in the American public school system has done. It's brought America to a place where the American citizen, hence the world citizen now, believes that it's going to be up to us to save the planet, to save humanity, to evolve ourselves. So we're going to have transhumanism. We're going to put robots in our bodies. We're going to do all of these things, and we are going to save ourselves. See, that's what you believe when you don't believe that you have a creator. Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Why were you created? For the glory of God. There's a verse in Revelation 4:11. And I'm a little tired today. I didn't go to sleep till 1 o'clock this morning, and I had to wake up at 6. I got about 5 hours of sleep last night. I'm a little tired today. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's for God's pleasure, not our own. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You see, if we're creating ourselves, then we get all the glory and honor and power. Now, everybody, fasten your seatbelts for this one, Isaiah 45. In fact, you might want to turn there. We're going to do a little study today on Isaiah 45, verse 7. It's a question I've been asked before. Did God create Satan? Why did God create Lucifer? Did God make evil? And I've answered this question, yeah, God created evil. And people are just going, oh, you're a heretic. Oh, I can't handle you. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. But I'm not. I'm just reading the scripture. Isaiah 45, verse 7. God said, I form the light and create darkness. Now, stop right there. You just think about that for a minute. Who created the darkness? God did. We go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Everything that is or was back then was created by God. And when God first created the heavens and the earth, he did not have light in it yet. So in thus creating the universe, he created it dark. And he created darkness. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. God created evil. How did God create evil? How did he do that? Well, number one, he created a tree in the midst of the garden of actually two trees. One was a tree of life, and one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, as long as those trees are sitting there and God doesn't create evil, there's nothing wrong with it. But then God creates evil by saying this. Remember, everything that's created is created out of the words of his mouth. Here is how God created evil. In fact, I better read the exact words. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That is how God created evil. He created evil by giving man a good choice and a bad choice. And God said, choose, and Adam chose. He chose the wrong one. So God said he created evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Look at verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Bill Nye, the science bow tie guy, is striving with his maker. He has put it in the forefront of his mind that there is no God. God does not exist. God, you're not there. I'm going to close my eyes, and when I open my eyes, you're not going to be there. And he's not there. And so Bill Nye strives with his maker, even though he doesn't know that he was made. Bill Nye thinks that the bow tie just showed up one day. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. And his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create. Oh, listen to this. If you like the first creation, get ready for the second one. And if you don't believe in the first one, what stinks to be you concerning the new one? Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And let me do this. Here's what happens when man will not regard his creator. This is the result right here. Southern Decadence, 2012, Nawlins, Louisiana. That's what happens when man will not recognize his creator. Romans chapter 1. Let's see here. Where is? Oh, there it is. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me do this. It mentions that his Godhead can be seen. How is that? What is the Godhead? Father, Word, or Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the Godhead. The three. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Do you see the Godhead there? So that image is in us. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Even Bill Nye, the science bow tie guy, would say to you that all that is in the universe exists as time, space, and matter. Those, how many? three things. And you cannot have the rule, the laws of physics say you cannot have matter without space to put it in. It's an impossibility. Matter or mass takes up space. You must have space. But in order for the rules of space to operate, there must be time. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that's the space, and the earth, that's the matter, the mass. All three are present in the very first verse of the whole Bible. Right there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, time, space, and matter. So the Godhead can clearly be seen in the things that God made. Let's see what happens here. When you will not regard God. Let's go read. Hang on, I'm trying to do something here. Let's go read verse. Let's see. The visible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Bill, you're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Let me tell you how vain he is. He is so vain that he thinks in 200 years, nobody's going to believe in creationism. Are you kidding me? The way I got it figured, 200 years from now, we should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 years into the millennial reign of Christ. That's just kind of, I'm not saying it's starting this year, but somewhere in the ballpark, 200 years from now, we will have begun the millennial reign of Christ. And I think everybody's going to believe in the Creator then. Bill, you're just vain in your imaginations is what you are. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be sophos, which means wise. They became moros, which means fools. And you would say, Pastor Mike, you're giving us that Greek. I'm doing so for a reason. I learned when I was in 10th grade that the word sophomore meant wise fool. That's what it means, sophos and moros. And I always pointed that verse, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Bill Nye, the bow tie guy, says, I am God. I will create, I will save myself, I will teach myself, I will sustain myself, I will live of and of myself, I will think of myself only, and I will evolve myself. So they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to, here it is, here's what happens. 100 years of evolutionary teaching in our schools has done this. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, 100 years of teaching evolution in schools will turn your country into Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what it says. And that's what's happening right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new evolutionary product. No. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When you teach as a quote-unquote Christian, when you teach evolution, when you teach that nature has taken over, when you teach these things, you are denying the ministry of the reconciliation of men and God together. It's only those who believe and teach creation the way the Bible lays it out can you be teach and have the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man to God. Isn't that interesting? Oh, let's see here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, the NIV says, through Jesus Christ. No, it's by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, for by him, the NIV says through, because that's what the Arians told them to say. That's what the Brady says the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that Jesus was one of these demigods, because immortal spiritual God cannot be defiled with fleshly matter. So God could not have created the world. So God created a being who 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 created a being that could create the world. And that was, so God created through Jesus. That's what the NIV says. But the King James, the right Bible, says, and oh, by the way, while I'm on this topic, there is, you could probably find this on YouTube, Kent Hovind, who, as many of you know, is serving prison time right now for tax evasion. Whether it was right or wrong, it's not for me to judge. But anyway, he was on John Ankerberg. He was on one of these Christian talk shows. And John Ankerberg had Kent Hovind there, and he had one of these theistic evolutionary idiots up there. And Kent Hovind, I want to tell you something. You can say what you want to about the guy, but he'll stand for what he believes in. And Kent Hovind, John Ankerberg, had put verses up on the screen that they were going to debate. And the verses were not from the King James, because the version, probably the NIV or something like that, the verse was talking about wild animals. And as soon as John Ankerberg got done reading the verse, Kent Hovind jumped right up on this guy's show and said, well, first of all, you need to get a King James, because the real Bible says beasts, and that means any kind of living creature like an animal. But dogs and cats and horses and guinea pig, they're not wild animals. They are domesticated. There's a difference. That version of the Bible is wrong, and the King James is right. You need to get a King James. And here's John Ankerberg. You can just say he's got blonde hair. You can just see his face just turning beet red. You can probably find that on YouTube. But anyway, here's what the Bible says. Let's see here. Where were we when I was going off on that? If any man be in Christ, let me back up. Let me do it. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Already read. Colossians 1:16. Here we are. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created, including Lucifer, by the way. All things were created by him and for him. The creature, Lucifer, thinks he can dominate the creator. What an idiot! What a stupid numbskull! All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means they're held together. Consistency, like in cake batter or pudding. It has a consistency. Gravy has a consistency. And to this day, they cannot explain how the protons and the electrons are held together in the core of an atom. Because all the protons in anything but a hydrogen atom, all the protons should throw themselves away from one another. And they can't figure out how the universe consists. They can't figure that out. Bill Nye won't tell you the whole story. He won't tell you the truth. The Bible says by him all things consist. You know what I think is going to happen? at the very end of the end of everything, right before the new heavens and new earth. You know what I think is going to happen? I think God's going to go, and it's all going to vanish away. Let's see here. Verse 17, He is before all things, by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. It's creation, people. You gotta believe that God created the universe. You gotta believe it, Bill. And by the way, you have to teach it to your kids, too. I've got about 15 minutes to go through about 50 emails. Let me say this, and I'll say this in every program. If you send an email, and I always pull the email reader up before I start the online program, and I try to go backward a little bit. But I can see, like from last week, there's probably 20, 30 emails there that have not been read, and they won't be. Simply because of the, if you write an email to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, that is what comes to the Top Secret Broadcasting Bunker. That's what I have before my eyes. I don't have the KingJamesCode.org. I don't have any of those other email addresses here before me. I only have this one. If you use the PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com email address to contact us about orders or whatever, or you're asking me a personal question, I probably won't see it. And so if you have any other kind of question other than what we can deal with here, send it to PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org, and it will be taken care of. And so if you've sent an email in today, and I see many of you have, Monica has, Bill, my buddy Bill, how you doing, Bill? You've sent an email in here, and if I don't get to it, send it again and keep doing it, all right? Here is one that came in early. I'm just going to go from the beginning to the end. Margaret and Shane from New Zealand, where apparently in one town there they smoke a lot of pot. Greetings, Pastor Mike from New Zealand. What is the difference between fallen angels and devils? We dealt with that in a PMO, Pastor Mike Online program, last week or the week before last, where I just went through and showed you what the Bible says devils are. They are the fallen angels. They're the gods. They are of the angelic realm, and they are gods. Now, here's the second question. Some who say they have had a near-death experience seem to be sincere. They don't want money or fame, nor claim to have talked to the dead or seen Jesus' face. Is this biblical, though? Or adding to the Bible, we are weary especially of the description of demons debauching the damned, your sister and brother in Christ. And I will say to both of you that if anybody came to me, or if somebody said, hey, man, I died, I was on the operating table and I died, and let me tell you what I saw, let me this and that and the other, I would go, you know, that's really interesting. Let me tell you what the Bible says. If somebody tells you that devils or demons are debauching the damned in hell, I can tell you, no, they're not. I can tell you that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going on in hell. But the Bible doesn't mention that. And the issue is, Jesus went there. He created it. He knows what's there. And He revealed the exact description of hell and the afterlife to us in the King James Bible. He even told us every detail of heaven in the book of Revelation. And so if somebody, and let me quote a scripture here. For is it appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment? And I personally don't believe after death experiences, or what they call near death experiences, or the light at the end of the tunnel. I just don't believe that. There's a book going around called 23 Minutes in Hell. And this guy died, and for 23 minutes he said he was in hell, and he wrote all this description. Why can't we just read the King James Bible? The King James Bible will tell you everything that there is to know about hell. And this guy writing this book, I don't trust what he says. I don't trust him. I might think there's something wrong with that. And so I hope that answers your question. Anthony says, Prince of Wales. Let's see here. He's asking the question, is one of the princes of Wales the Antichrist? a principality, as in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I've been given hundreds of these cross-references, like Roman is ancient, Ra, man of Egyptian antiquities. Romance is love or lust of the flesh, mentioned in a Crowley satanic book, The Law of the Love. Anthony, let me say this. I don't want to judge you, but I want to answer your question fairly. Be careful. Be careful of reading all of these websites where, and David Icke does this a lot. I've got one of his books, and I read through it, and I'm going, wow. David Icke and others like him love to take the English language and then say that, oh, what this really means, like he said the word Roman really means the raw man. Now that is, I can tell you that you can look at 100 etymological sources. Etymology is the study of where words really come from. You can look at 100 etymological sources and never find that. You'll never find that in a million years. The word Rome or Roman, now it does come from supposedly the two god founders of Rome, Romulus and Remus. But Romulus does not mean the raw man. It doesn't mean that. And what was some of the others? The word romance. That simply comes from the word Rome or Roman or whatever. Be careful about... There are people who are out there, and here's where I'm going with this. There are people out there who are saying that the word amen is that you're crying out to Om. What was it? The Egyptian god. Or you're saying Om. You're meditating or something like that. David Icke comes up with this stuff. David Icke is a New Ager who hates Bible Christianity, and he thinks that we're all Satan worshipers, we're all reptilians. That's what David Icke thinks. Be careful about pseudo-etymology. Pseudo-etymology. There is real etymology. I like to study etymology. I like to study where, in fact, that's where I went to a while ago, to look up the word derision. Words mean something, and they are based upon roots from other languages. But guys like David Icke and others will mislead you into thinking, every time you see the word amen in the Bible, David Icke and others, and I've been asked this question, because somebody was scared to death that the word amen was invoking, it was Amun-Ra. That's who you were calling to. You were calling to the Egyptian god Amun-Ra when you said amen. And that is a lie. Jesus' name is amen in the book of Revelation. And David Icke knows that. And he is trying to get you in your mind to draw the relationship between pseudo-etymology, words that he says this is what they really mean, because he's uncovered the secret, and Jesus Christ, who in his mind is a pagan god. There is a book floating around, and it's loved by all these Yahushua followers, the sacred name people, who say that Jesus is Jesus. Jesus, the God of thunder. You're really saying that. It is pseudo-etymology, and there's a book going around. It's about archaeology and the languages or something like that. And it's pseudoscience. It's written by a guy whose opinions and theories are not based upon Bible knowledge or biblical ideas. These guys hate Jesus. They hate God. They hate the Bible. They hate Bible Christianity. And so they have reconstructed. It's just like the guys with the Hebrew and Greek lexicons. Don't you think that those guys probably changed some of the definitions of the words? And that's what's going on. So, Anthony, I want to strongly, and again, I don't think that, I'm not judging you, but I am going to strongly, very nicely tell you, shut down those websites on the internet. Quit reading that stuff. Read your Bible. The Bible will have all these answers for you that you want to know. It'll have all those answers in it for you, I promise you. Eric writes in. Says, Pastor Mike, I used to go to this place, Resurrection Life, in Granville, Michigan. They have a lot of birthed churches under them. That's what it is. Praise God, I don't anymore. Here's an upcoming event they're having, and he gives the website. It's called At the Movies. I wanted to reach their followers, so I posted this on their Facebook sites, Big Rapids, and so on. And this is what he posted on their on his Facebook page. We believe Resurrection Life Church believes in a lot of churches the Bible. We believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, authoritative Word of God without error in the original languages. And he asks, have you read the original languages? Notice the present language of the King James, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Psalm 12, the Lord, words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, forever. And so he posted that on a Facebook. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Eric. JJ writes a very long email. Let's see here. Let me scan this very quick. No, I'm not reading this. It's got curse words in it. Forget it. Don't send me anything with curse words, okay? Because I might slip up and read it. Don't do that. Katie sent me a YouTube video. Katie sent it to my other email addresses, and we'll tend to it. Paul in Nederland. Dear Pastor Mike, I've been listening to the three parts of Which Bible Do You Believe, etc. I have only one question. As I have a foster son who came from Togo, Africa, and he's a real wonderful Christian, but I want to know if there's any French Bible from the Good Vine. Can you advise me about that? Thank you so much. Love you in Christ, Paul. I don't know. I am not aware. I'm sure and I'm hoping that there is. And so maybe some of our blessed watchers can dig into that and find out if there is a good, or maybe Gary knows from Bearing Precious Seed is where we buy our King James Bibles. They have some vernacular translations in other other languages, and maybe we can find out for you. Anyway, let's see here. Bob, a few weeks ago I left my KJV Bible, Bob Harrington, Bourbon Street Chapel, in red letter, big print, red leather with gold leaf, at First Baptist Church, Nashville, overnight. Went back the next morning, looked into my backpack, and it was gone. Yes, it was, and I've been grieving ever since and praying that it will return. Little hope of that, as it was in the company of strangers that hate the KJV. So I need prayer that it will be returned, or I find it somewhere in the world. Thanks so much for your belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For a year now, I can't get enough of your programs. I have you and Bethel Church as my church and pastor. So glad that Jesus came and got me up. From the NIV people, I'm free. I love it. I love it, Bob Dean. I appreciate that. So let's pray that he gets his KJV, Bob Harrington. He was the chaplain of Bourbon Street, by the way. This guy went down there, got himself into a little trouble, too. But he witnessed to a lot of people on Bourbon Street. Let's see here. Hi, Pastor Mike. I'm resending this. I've got about 4 or 5 minutes here. I'm resending this email from last Thursday regarding the new Bible. The first part is the transcript of the commercial, and the second part is the... okay, I remember you. You sent me a YouTube video right before the program, and I told you to transcript it, and you did. Thank you very much. It's a new Bible that forgives homosexuality. Here's the transcript from this YouTube video. What if there was... I haven't watched the video, but I'm going to do my best commercial voice. What if there was a new beginning from the ending? Who would you tell? What if he said yes to something new? How would you know? Come read the new teachings of Jesus Christ. Download your free copy today. How was that? I could make a lot of money with this. Not my face, my voice. One part of it, there's three new books, one called The Journal, the first book of God's New Law. The Journal is a description of the recreation of man beyond revelations that illustrates what the enlightened students of God's kingdom prescribes. The Victory, the second book. The Victory describes how an act of vengeance by the Father's left hand delivers poetic justice to those who did not heed his warning to forgive thy neighbor. Number three, Peace Through Suffering, is a testament written by the Father in heaven and one of his adopted, leaving the last book entitled The Journey offering to lead mankind away from serving doctrine into living in the Spirit with God and his kingdom. This is from Tracy from Phil. And Tracy, I appreciate that. And basically, it's, just new words from God, even though the contract that you and I agreed to, the new covenant, at the end of the contract, I just love teaching this contract law and the Bible. At the end of the new covenant in Revelation, it specifically says that nothing ever can be added after this right here. After Jesus signs it, nothing can be added to that after that. Isn't that amazing? And that's the contract that I'm under. This is Elizabeth. How you doing, Elizabeth? And I know who you are. God bless you. Hi, Pastor Mike. Just wanted to thank you for releasing me from condemnation on Sunday. And I tend to wear women's trousers a lot as I find them more comfortable and in my job very practical. I always dress in a feminine way, and there's no way I could be mistaken for dressing as a man, and I always try to dress modestly. I tend to wear skirts and dresses when I go to church, but the rest of the week I'm wearing trousers. Elizabeth, here's what I'm going to say. And, boy, I tell you what. Listen, a lot of you people have written in, and I just don't have time today. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Thursday is your day, all right? I promise that I will not get sidetracked by some big explosive thing on Thursday unless some big explosive thing happens. And I will deal a lot with your questions and emails on Thursday to give you that time. But Elizabeth, let me share this with everybody. Oh, by the way, thanks for bringing that up, because I found out what happened Sunday. It's this box right here. This is it is a canopus. We actually have two of them, and one of them I'm using right now. This converts all of the camera video into digital information, and it goes directly into the computer via FireWire. And this box is kaput. It doesn't work anymore. And that's what was causing our computer to crash. And so I had to run up here and get this one that's in the studio here and borrow it and take it back downstairs so we could keep going. And so I'm going to have to order a new one of these because this one's shot. So tomorrow night when you see us online, I'll be using this one that's down here. All right. And I plan on tomorrow I'm going to redo the entire teaching that I did, that I tried to do Sunday here at Bethel Church. Most the church here got all the message. A lot of you out there did not. And it's something that is needed. It's something that people are, the women are asking. I have not had any man saying, "Boy, I'm glad you're preaching that, preacher. My wife, she needs to hear that stuff." Hang on a second. Yes? Well, I'm online. Yeah, I'm online right now, so tell him to call back. All right, thank you. I thought that was like an emergency of some kind. All right, anyway, and I'm fixing to be offline here in a second. But anyway, I'm going to redo that entire teaching in studio probably tomorrow, and I will probably add a lot of things to it to have some more scripture and everything like that. And so just pray that the Lord would be in this, the Lord would use this. I don't want to be a thorn in someone's side. There's some women out there who really struggle with issues of godly womanhood. And I want you to know that I'm on your side because I struggle with issues of godly manhood. It's all the way around in the body of Christ, and people want to know what the Bible says. And so anyway, I want that to be a blessing to you. So I will be redoing that tomorrow. That will be the pure Bible study for tomorrow. We'll have that available on our website. We'll also have that available on video, on DVD, in case you want a copy of it. It'll probably be coming out in our Watchers packets. I have time. Oh, no. And I didn't just do that on purpose either. If you wrote me an email and I did not get to it today, please send it in Thursday. Thursday will be your day. All right? I love you. Appreciate you. Pray for Bill Nye, the science guy. Okay? He's going to a very, very bad place. You pray for him. God bless you. I love you. Bye. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?